Today we have a special class in preparation of the break, what's known in yeshivot as Bein Hazmanim. Bein, in between, Hazmanim, the times, because you have set times for learning. And now we're running into a break. So the break begins on Thursday, right, officially, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, officially yeshivas, guys go out. So I thought we should take some time to think about what we're going to do when we have this break. Firstly, it's important to take a break. It's very, very important to take a break. It's halacha and Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch discusses that one is not supposed to sleep during the daytime. Ideally, a person should sleep by night. And Shulchan Aruch says, sometimes you have to sleep by day so you don't go crazy from your learning. If a person's learning and learning and doesn't sleep, he could go crazy. Unfortunately, it's been done. There is a Gemara that discusses the great attributes of learning at night. That's true, but that doesn't mean that one is supposed to sleep by day. If a person needs to sleep by day, he may sleep by day. But ideally, a person should be sleeping at night and learning and working by day. But if he has to, he could sleep by day. And the Shulchan Aruch says sometimes he has to take that break from his learning or else he's going to go nuts. So it's important to take a break. And in Bein Hazmanim, it's important to take a break. That means going on trips, going for walks. There are a lot of things a person could do to take a break. And I want to highlight a few points and then discuss them in detail. So what could we do during Bein Hazmanim? One, we said it's important to take a break. That'll give us strength to continue. Two, the Torah, in the Sefer Torah, the Torah is written, there's no separation between pasuk and pasuk. You don't know where a sentence begins and a sentence ends, but you do have parshios. You have segments in the Torah, and there's a break in between them. Some have bigger breaks, smaller breaks. And our sages say, why are there these pauses, these breaks in the Torah? Because when God gave over the Torah to Moshe, God also made breaks. There were pauses. And the purpose of these pauses was to give Moshe time to analyze what he was told. So that's another thing that we could take advantage of Bein Hazmanim, to analyze. What have we learned? Bein Hazmanim is a time, the time of the break is a time when one can grow. One can grow sometimes more than he does during this month. Our sages say that there's mitzuveh ve'oseh, a person who's commanded to do something and does it. And then there's eino mitzuveh ve'oseh, a person who's not commanded to do it and does it. Now, Bein Hazmanim, sometimes we feel like we're eino mitzuveh ve'oseh, no one's looking over our shoulders, we're our own free men, we learn when we want, we don't when we want to. No classes to attend, no one's taking attendance. Sometimes a person has greater strength when he feels like he could not learn. So there's what to be taken advantage of for learning also in Bein Hazmanim. Sometimes there's less of a yetzer hara. You feel like you have to be in Beis Medrash for an hour, suddenly there are a lot of things that pull you out of Beis Medrash. When you don't feel like you have to be there, so sometimes you could focus more. This is a time when you guys could take advantage of this time to get to know your teachers, the rabbeim here. You could offer to help clean for Pesach. You could, if you'll be there and you'll be helping, then you'll be part of the family and you'll see what's going on. And you could gain from that both to see how the family runs and also to develop the rapport on different levels with the rabbeim here. It's time to make money. In ancient times, Bein Hazmanim, the Gemara records, Rava used to tell his students, his disciples, he'd say, I don't want to see you here during the month of Nisan and Tishrei. Those are the months when people are hiring. You could get jobs. Go work so that you'll have money so you could learn the rest of the year. So don't be in the Beis Medrash. He said, I don't want to see you here. And he'd chase him out. So that's another thing to think about. Earning money. It's time, you have time off, you could and should make money. It's time for review. Bein Hazmanim is a time when one can review what he's done during this month, what he's learned. And it's a time to work on our relationship with our parents, maybe even learn with our parents. When I went on Bein Hazmanim, the first year I was learning, I had a chavrusa with my mother. Obviously we didn't learn Gemara, but there are other things you could learn. Your parents want to reap what you've accomplished. You've worked, you know something, you've been learning. You should share it with your parents. Let them have that nachas. You should bring the whole family up. It's not only you that should gain from your learning. You could prepare the Agada during this Ben Azman. You have time to prepare. You're going to be at a Seder. You should have what to say. And it's time for doing chesed. Very often during this Zman, we're focused on developing ourselves, and we don't have time to participate in any volunteering organizations and stuff like that. So one should take advantage if he's going to have time when he's not learning, and he could take some time out to help. So it's time. It's a good time to develop that also. Torah chesed. We work on the Torah being a Torah of chesed, a Torah which develops into action, into being good people. So it's a good time to implement it. So those are the points I wanted to discuss tonight in outline form, and now we'll discuss each one at greater length. We said that it's time to rest. Ben Zman means the time to rest. People get burnt in Shiva. The person learns and learns and learns and doesn't take time to rest. You could have burnout. So sometimes you need to break 2 days into the Zman. Sometimes you need to break 2 hours into the day. And sometimes you need a break after you've learned, months long. So you guys have been learning here. And it's important to take a break, not to get burnt out. I think I told you that after many years that I didn't take a break, Ben Azman might keep learning. There was 1 year that I had to travel. I had to go visit my parents and my grandparents and my wife's grandparents. And between all the traveling, I couldn't get much learning done. And after like 7 or I don't know how many years where I hadn't taken a break, suddenly I took a break. I didn't have a choice. When I got back the next month to learning, after we landed back in Israel and I could get back to normal learning, I felt like I had so much more strength, I was asking myself if I had gained by not taking the break previous years. So there's no mitzvah to stop now for a month to stop your learning. The fact that classes here are going to be paused for a month, and we have to talk about that. We might have classes, those guys who want, we could set up classes during Ben Azman also, but what? I've got it. By default, I have to clean for Pesach, so some kind of break I'm going to have to take. But we should have classes for if guys want it. So there's no mitzvah to stop for a month now to stop learning. Maybe all you need is a week's break or 2 weeks break or 2 days break. But take the break. It's important to take the break so you have strength to continue. It's a good idea to take advantage of this time to do stuff which you can't do during this month when you have your hectic schedules. Maybe you want to read history books and you don't have time to do it. Maybe you want to read biographies. Maybe it's time to give more attention to our parents. Spend some time with them. Maybe it's time to get in touch with friends that you haven't had time to get in touch with during this month to maintain contact. Now, this is a point we should discuss. Friends. Sages said that a person should exile himself to learn Torah. What's the reason? So there are many reasons. But one of the reasons is that when we grow up in a community, when we're in an area where people know us, so it's very hard to change. And that limits our growth. Sometimes a person inside wants to be someone else. He wants desperately to move forward from where he's at. And he feels he can't do it. What's he going to do? He's going to suddenly wear a kippah. Everyone around him isn't wearing a kippah. He's going to suddenly go pray 3 times a day. All his friends aren't praying 3 times a day. The classic example is the guy who always shows up late to shul. So the first Shabbos he decides to show up on time, everyone starts making remarks. What happened? Your wife kicked you out of bed? You had a fight at home? Everyone's making jokes. So next Shabbos he knows better than to come on time. But it's true that sometimes friends can be constricting and limiting. And in that respect, sometimes it's not such a good idea in Ben Azman to be in touch with old friends. If these are friends that are going to pull us down, so then we have to weigh whether it pays to be in touch with them. If we feel we could pull them up, so we have to weigh that. But if they're going to pull us down, so maybe we have to spend more time immersed in Torah before we can take that challenge on. So we're not looking to challenge ourselves during Ben Azmanim. Ben Azmanim is a time when we're out of the structure, and the second a person is out of structure, he's more apt to fall. So we should try to ensure that we don't fall. And one of the ways is not to put ourselves in trying situations. But on the other hand, there are good friends, and sometimes it's a very good idea to maintain contact with them. Another point about friends is that sometimes people are in the machon, and they see the machon as this institution, and they have their friends outside the machon. I think it's a very good idea to develop friendship with guys here. If you're going to go on a tiyul, why call up all those friends who you have from your history? If you want to, you could, but why not develop the friendship with the guys here? Why not go on trips with the guys here and try to maintain the contact and develop the friendship here? And developing the friendship through trips and doing things together is a different level of friendship than the friendship of learning. It's a different thing, and it's kedai. I think it's very worthwhile to try and develop the relationship. It should be something that's lasting. I am very sorry to see that many, I would even say most, of the students of the Machon, after they leave, they barely stay in touch with the guys. Some stay in touch with me, but I would want there to be contact between the guys also. You guys are in this together, so the relationship should develop. It's not a bunch of single people learning, it should be a group of people. We're united. Another idea during Bein Hazmanim is to go to museums. How many of you have seen the excavations under the Kotel, the Holy Land Hotel? There are a lot of museums which you could gain, and they'll enrich your learning also. If you're going to take a break, might as well make it an enriching break. So the first point we discussed, taking a break. We discussed a few important options, taking a break, be it investing time with our parents, be it taking walks or just going out for a breeze, be it to be in touch with old friends, with siblings, to catch up on reading, go to museums. Whatever it is, it's important to take that break. The next point is what we said. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he's writing down the Torah, so there are breaks in the Torah, and those breaks are there so that he should analyze what's being said. All of us should take this time to analyze. And Bein Hazmanim is a great time for introspection. To stop, to think. Where was I when I started this chapter in my life? Where am I now? How far have I gotten? Where would I like to see myself in the next chapter? And how am I going to get there? It's a time to analyze. You're taking a break. Stop, think. Take the time to put down on paper where you're coming from, what you've gained, and where you'd like to get to, and how you're going to get there. Speaking on that note, sometimes it's very good to notice, why am I not moving forward the way I'd like to? Sometimes a person comes to the conclusion, you know, I'm cutting too many classes. Sometimes a person comes to the conclusion, I'm not being on time. I'm showing up late to classes, showing up late to davening, everything is out of whack. So it's a good idea for a person to try and take a single trait, a single point to work on during Bein Hazmanim. Say a person says, I'll work on being on time, so I'm going to work on showing up to Minyan every day on time. I'm going to work on showing up at the times that I'm supposed to. Let's say a person says, I'm going to work on davening 3 times a day. A person should choose one point. I think that's enough for Bein Hazmanim. A person decides, this is the one thing I'm going to work on Bein Hazmanim. A person knows he has to work on being truthful. A person knows he has to work on respecting his parents. Every person knows his points. A person might choose to work on something that'll help him with his learning, but not necessarily so. Don't forget, we're working at the Machon to develop ourselves as human beings, as a whole. And the whole has many, many parts. So every person can decide what he's going to work on, but it's recommended that a person choose one thing that over Bein Hazmanim he's going to work on. The Torah records how Moshe Rabbeinu sends out spies to check out the Holy Land. 12 men. And the 12 men return, and 10 of them speak badly about the land, and the people say, we can't do it, it's not going to work, we got to go back. Before they leave, Moshe Rabbeinu calls his disciple Yoshua, who until this point was called Hoshea bin Nun. Moshe calls him in, and he blesses him, and he changes his name to Yehoshua. What was Moshe's concern? So our sages say Yehoshua is an acronym for, it's really a conjunction, Ka Yoshiacha. Yehoshua is Me Ka, Yud Hei. may Hashem save you from the bad plot of the spies. What was the concern? Yoshua was a righteous, pious person. He was the next leader of the Jewish people. So on one level we could understand Yoshua is going to be with a lot of people who are going to sin. It's very hard when you're going to such a society not to be pulled down. But on another level, we could understand that until now, Yoshua was in a bubble. He was there with his Rebbe, he was there with everyone else who was learning Torah, and trying to do what was right. It's easier to maintain a good level when you're with people who are also aspiring to be on a good level. The second you walk out of that, you walk out of the bubble, you have to put up with day-to-day life out of the clouds that are surrounding the Jewish people, life is more difficult. Then you suddenly have to see how can you implement everything you've learned. So we're standing at that crossroads also. We're about to leave the bubble of Machon Meir. And you know what? That's life. You don't live life in Machon Meir. Eventually all of you are going to walk out and you have to implement what you've learned. So Ben Azmanim is a good time for a person to check himself. People enter Ben Azmanim and sometimes they could think, it's a break, I sleep late, do what I want, I don't have to be too productive. So we said it's important to take a break. That's true. But it's also important to remember that we're responsible adults and our responsibility to our Creator doesn't end because we're not in Machon Meir. If we're supposed to show up to davening on time, that doesn't change just because the session has ended. We want to take what we've learned and apply it in life. So let's see us do that when we have Ben Azmanim. We have a break, so it's a good time to check ourselves. How can I apply what I've learned? One of the things that I think every person should decide for himself is that he's going to learn every day. You've learned at Machon Meir, and hopefully your plans are, when you continue in life, to learn every day, to keep moving forward. If we're not moving up, chances are in life we're moving down. Mm-hmm. My father always says, in business, if you're not developing to make more money, chances are you're starting to lose money. You have to constantly be working to make things be better. The same thing is true in life. You have to constantly work to try and do better. Now, what should a person learn every day? By the way, the food there is for everyone.
That's what
we have. Oh, yeah, okay. So, what should a person learn every day? I'm a big believer in not trying to overachieve when it comes to setting up our learning schedule. I think that a person should try and take upon himself something that's doable and live by it. Consistency, in my mind, is more successful than trying to overachieve and being inconsistent. Once a person doesn't live up to his expectations, so, okay, I didn't do what I had to do yesterday, I won't do what I have to do today. It falls in line and then a person starts missing days of learning. Every person should know that every day in his life should be a learning day. I remember in elementary school, every time before we went out for the spring break, every time our principal, Rabbi Flam, Zichrono Livracha, would always say, no such thing as a Jewish day is a learning day. You can never have a day you're not learning. How old were we? Third graders, fourth graders, I remember it till today. Every time he'd always stick that into the speech. And I think it's an important point. We're not in third grade, but the point is true. Every day a person should learn. You're going on a trip, you're going to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, you're going to have time to daven, factor in some time to learn. Now, I also think that people should get accustomed to having a learning session which is shortened to the point. And that should be a part of their day every day. There's a minyan I daven in the morning where there's one chazan who davens, he's a speed reader. Finishes all davening in 20, 25 minutes. Everything, zoom, finishes everything. So I always thought the guy must be rushing to work. But I noticed that every day after davening, he sits down for another few minutes and does the parsha, that section of the week. So he reads it, he just reads through that section. Everyone else is tagging out a shul, telling him, great job, you finished quickly, and he's sitting down to do that section of the parsha. It's beautiful. I don't know how many years this guy's been doing this, but it's amazing. Every day after davening, doesn't matter when davening ends, he sits down for his 5-10 minutes to go through that section of the parsha. I'm not saying that's what every person should do. Some people, it's better for them to set up to learn two halachas every day in Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. or to learn Mishnayot, or to learn the Book of Our Heritage, Sefer Todah. I don't think it's so relevant what, but if you set up something that you learn every day, and I think that something that's adjacent to prayer has a better chance of lasting. If you know that right after you pray Shachrit, you're going to learn something, chances are you'll stick to it. If you say sometime during the day I'll do it, and that sometime during the day gets forgotten. It's very useful if you have a chavruta. If you have a chavruta, that's an excellent reminder, and that's more responsibility to stick to it. You set up to learn with someone. But and even on your own, if you set up a set time, and I think the best time is right after morning prayer, then chances are you'll be able to stick to it. And this is a good habit to have even when you're in the machon, and it's a good habit to get into now, so you'll be able to keep it when you continue in life. As far as setting up a chavuta, don't forget the option of learning by phone. For some reason, when I say this to people, they all squint and say, really? What's it worth? How's that going to work? I do it with people all the time. When I was a kid, my Rebbe used to make us all learn at night on the phone with a chavruta, review what we learned in class. And ever since then, I've been doing it. And it works great, so you don't see the other person. So what? You could still get a lot of learning done on the phone. There's nothing wrong with it. I think it's a pity not to do it. I have a cousin who I learned chavrusa with, who's flying to the United States. He wants me to get an internet phone because he wants to continue learning. So today you can learn internationally, just by phone. Why not? Why not? I used to follow a shir by phone. There was a rabbi whose shir I followed, and then I moved to a different state. So I used to call in. I had a plan where it was a flat rate. It didn't cost me extra. And I'd call in every night and listen to the shir. And he agreed. He'd put a cordless phone on the table. I couldn't ask questions, but I could hear the shir. So why not? I think it's an excellent thing to do. We've mentioned the Medrash that Rav Soloveitchik used to quote. It's worth mentioning again about king who comes to the town, and he asks them, he says, I'm bringing a wagon full of barrels tomorrow. From the morning, I want you all to go to that wagon and take the barrels. Each person should take a barrel, fill it with water in the river, carry that barrel over to this ditch and empty its contents into the ditch. That's what you're to do tomorrow until noon, until I come. Okay, early the next morning, they're all faithful citizens. They get up, they find the wagon with the barrels. Every citizen takes a barrel. They go out to the river, they fill the barrels, they start heading to the ditch, and they see that the barrels are filled with holes. And the water is leaking out, it's leaking out, it's leaking out. And by the time they reach the ditch, there's almost no water left. So they look at the barrels and they say, this is ridiculous. There isn't going to be anything left by the time we reach the ditch. The king probably made a mistake. He didn't want us to waste our time carrying barrels with holes. What's the point? So all the citizens, they leave the barrels on the side. one faithful citizen, he says, I don't know, this is what the king said to do, this is what I do. He said we should take it, fill it in the river, carry it, empty it into the ditch, that's what I'm doing. And all morning he's doing this, he's going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Comes noontime, the king pulls up with his entourage and he sees one man doing this. So he calls together the citizens of the town and he says, what's going on? I told you this is what you're to do, how come you're not doing it? So they said, look, there are holes. The barrels all have holes. So we figured that, what's the point? You probably want us to get that ditch full. So you'll get us good barrels. We'll gladly do it. So the king said, that's ridiculous. I told you have to go fill the barrels and empty them into the ditch. That's what you were to do. Now you're saying there are holes? Yeah, I knew there were holes. My point wasn't that you get the ditch full. My point was that these barrels get cleaned out. I wanted the water to go through the barrels and clean it out as you carry it to the ditch, and it'll clean out the barrels. So Rav Soloveitchik said that this is learning Torah. Sometimes we think, I have to fill up, I have to retain everything I'm learning, and if I don't remember 99% of what I'm learning, then my learning is worthless. And if the learning is going in one ear and out the other, then what's it worth? So it's true, we have to try and learn in the way that's most constructive, and in a way that's most conducive to remembering what we learn and to applying what we learn. But at the end of the day, God put shikha into the world. He caused us to forget things. And God knows we're going to forget things. So when we learn, the learning is like that water going through the barrel. God wants us to have the learning go through us and purify us. When we reach Bein HaZmanim, it's a time where we could look, how much has the learning done to me? How much am I a different person in relation to where I was? I'm a big believer in writing letters to oneself. I think that people should sometimes stop in life and write themselves a letter. Where am I? What kind of person am I? Write yourself a letter for 5 years from now. Where would you like to see yourself in 5 years? In 5 years, you'll open it up and you'll read it. I think people should do that. They should stop and think, summarize, what is life to them? And where are they? How'd they get there? Where would they like to be in 5 years? You sit down and write a letter. 10 years ago, I did that. 10 years ago when I started in America Zerah, the end of my first year there. So I sat down, right now, before Pesach, and I wrote myself a long letter. I said, look, these are your weaknesses, these are your strengths. Better work on this. 10 years from now, I hope you'll have finished Shas and this and that and that, da da. A whole long list, but I recommend you do it. A, it'll help you focus, and B, it's a nice thing. 5 years down the road, hopefully it'll be nice to read it.
Did you open your letter?
Yeah. I read my letter 5 years ago.
Were you disappointed?
Was I disappointed?
It's always going to be something.
I find the greatest disappointment is every year on my birthday. Not when I open the letter. When the birthday comes, I tell myself, where was I last year? Where am I this year? Where did I want to be this year? But to counter that, I have a special file at home, which is my shot in the arm file, where when I get an award or something like that, I put it in there. And I don't look at it. I'm not interested. Sometimes when the world looks bleak and I think I'm a terrible person, I think, gee, what am I worth? So I go to that file and I open up and I say, okay, so I'm not so bad. I've done some positive things in my life. Every person, I think, should have that, both aspects. On the one hand, they should know, look, I got to be better than I really am, and this isn't going to go. If I'm not going to fix it today, what's going to be tomorrow? How often does a person have a chance in life to stop, focus, and fix himself? The Machon is an exceptional place. It's a pause in your life. What you gain here is going to be tools for the rest of your life. On the other hand, the person should know to enumerate what he's okay in. We all have our positive traits and we shouldn't forget them. It's not good for a person to kill himself, literally and figuratively, both. Regarding learning on Bein HaZmanim, so Bein HaZmanim is a time where some people succeed in learning like they don't the rest of the year. The rest of the year, they walk in the base measure, suddenly they have to go to the bathroom, they remember they have to take care of this, they have to make that phone call. Everything's bothering them. They come in Bein HaZmanim, no one else is learning, they sit down, they could learn and focus for 2 hours straight. I'm one of the people like that. I get more learning when I don't have to learn than when I do have to learn. Okay, I'm a rebel. I have a hard time feeling that someone is telling me what to do. Our sages say, Gadolam tzuvevose mimishenom tzuvevose. Person who is commanded to do something, so we consider his actions to be greater than someone who does it of his own volition. And some explain the reasoning behind it is that when I tell you, go take out the garbage, your immediate instinct is to say, no. Who are you to tell me what to do? So if God tells me I have to wake up in the morning and say Kriyat Shema, if I have to show up to the Beis Medrash, so I feel like I'm not my own free man. I want to do what I want. So when I have a commandment to do something, it's more difficult to do it. I have more of a Yetzer Hara. When I don't have a commandment, so then it's much easier. Well, guys, sometimes in Bein HaZmanim, we feel like no one's looking over our shoulder, like we don't have to do it. So then sometimes you could really get a lot more learning done. And sometimes the ego helps too. You walk into this mesh, you're the only one learning, you feel like you're a big tzaddik. That's very good. Why shouldn't you feel like you're a big tzaddik? If you could use that forward, move forward. When we were about to get married, so the one who married me and my wife was Rav Ram Shapiro, the former chief rabbi of Israel. So we went to speak to him before the marriage, and he told us, he said, I envy you. Why do I envy you? Because all your sins are going to be forgiven. You two are starting from scratch. Now you're a clean slate. So you want to be tzaddikim? You're going to start out life as married people as tzaddikim. A person, when he gets married, has a clean slate. So you're a tzaddik now. He told me and my wife, he said, you two are tzaddikim. All you have to do now is keep it up. So, same thing here. If you could walk into this marriage, feel like you're a tzaddik and learn, so you'll be a tzaddik. Then afterwards, you just have to keep it up. You'd be surprised. Sometimes when you get the steam going, you really could keep it up. The only thing you should be careful is to remember you do have to take a break. So you have to find the balance, and with time you'll learn what the balance is. Reviewing. It's a tremendous asset if you could review what you've learned this past 6 months, the time that you've been here. It not only will help you clarify to yourself what you've learned, and the review sometimes gives clarity that learning itself can. You have a broader perspective, you've learned more, but it'll also help you remember. And sometimes it's better to review more on a more superficial level than to try to review everything in depth. You have now a break for a month, try to review. Now, in order to do this, like many of the other things we've discussed, you have to be organized. So you have to organize your thoughts and think what you're going to do, Zbein Hazmanim. Decide, partition, take small things, decide what times you're going to do them, how you're going to live up to it. Better take something small which you could live up to, and afterwards decide you could add something, than take on something too big which you won't live up to, and then you won't end up doing anything. Most people during Zbein Hazmanim don't end up doing anything. Even the people who plan, like I'm telling you. So it's better to take something small which you could live up to. Then you'll end up with something in your hand. Our sages have a rule. Tafasta merube lo tafasta. You try to grab too much, you don't get anything. Tafasta muat. If you take a smaller amount, tafasta, then you'll get at least what you're grabbing at. So we mentioned, it's important to take a break. It's important to regain strength during this period. It's important to take this break to take a look at what we've been through, what have we gained, where we're holding. It's time when a person can take advantage and learn because no one's looking over his shoulder. So to speak, it's a free time. It's time to take advantage to get close to the Rabbein, if you guys want to. Doesn't have to be the Rabbein here, it could be someone else, but you could develop relationships now. It's time to make money. Rav Oren has different jobs available, whoever's interested. I think now Yoshua Ellis is heading there. Time for review, and it's a good idea also to learn with your parents, to develop the relationship, and also to allow your parents and siblings to gain from what you've learned. And it's time where you could invest in the Haggadah. There are many good English Haggadahs out there. And it's a time where you really might want to take a little bit of time and get involved in a chesed organization. Helping people, be it going to hospitals or volunteering to distribute food to poor people or in a soup kitchen. That's part of the neshama which every person has to develop. And I'm not sure here at the Machon we could do that. We try to do as much as we can, but it's a good idea if you could take some time to take one afternoon, two afternoons, once or twice, three times, whatever, to volunteer and to be part of a chesed organization. Any questions? Okay, so have a fruitful and wonderful Ben Zvanim. Enjoy well, rest well. Your parents should have nachas from you, and you should have nachas from your parents. And, we should meet back here the beginning of next month strong and happy and with renewed strength and determination.